Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Three and Out Podcast, episode 11. I'm your host this evening, Moneymaker Chris, filling in for John, who's not feeling too well. Hope you feel better, buddy. And I got a very special guest here, the one and only Mr. Jay Giles. Jay, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good, Chris. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back. I know the last episode that I was on, I kind of went on a few tangents and rants and whatnot, so I might not be up to that level that I was on that episode, but I feel like we're going for a good show tonight.
Oh, most definitely, man, most definitely. Like I said, listen back to that episode, man. You definitely, like I said, for the wrestling fans out there, man, you definitely had your like, little CM Punk moment there, man. You definitely had a little pipe bomb going off on the last episode. It was great, man. I enjoyed it. Listen back to that, man. It was fun.
like I told you, I said I had a lot to get off my chest, and I did. So,
yeah. You definitely did. Like I said, it was good stuff, man. Good stuff. Do you feel better now? You got that all that stuff off your chest? You feel better, man?
Well, let's put it like this. With the fact that Tennessee is not in the Super Bowl, I'm good. So
you're good with that, man. No, you have to see no Ryan Tannehill, man. You have to see that Elmo emoji and everything, and you like exploding and going off, man. Oh man, good stuff. Oh, so you ready to get started?
Yes, sir.
All right, so before we get into the Super Bowl talk and everything, a couple of the new stories I wanted to get into. First off, Eli Manning announced his retirement from the NFL. Last Friday, he made it official, had his little speech there, very nice little speech he made there. And he had a great career, man. He was part of that 2004 draft class with him and Roethlisberger and Phillip Rivers. You know, that was a very good draft class, man. And Eli had a good career, man. I mean, his career record was only 117-117, but he had a good record in the playoffs. I think he was like 8-4 in the postseason. He got two Super Bowl rings, beating Tom Brady not once but twice in the Super Bowl. But Jay, how do you feel like, two things, how do you feel about Eli's career, and do you think he's a Hall of Fame?
I answer the second question first. Yes, okay. He is a Hall of Famer, and how I feel about his career overall is that these last few years don't define Eli, you know, his career. People have to, you got to go back. You go back to like the mid-2000s. And Eli was a lot better than he was given credit to. For most of his career, yes, he had to play in the shadow of Peyton and everything. Mm-hmm. But he was very good in his own right. I don't think people unless you really watch the Giants, like I did, or anything like that, or people mm-hmm. who are fans of the Giants, if you really watched him, you saw, like, he was really good and very, I won't say cutthroat, but he got the job done. And like I say, they were not supposed to beat the Patriots, you know, in that, you know, historical season of going undefeated. Mm-hmm. They were not
undefeated. Yep.
Well, matter of fact, they weren't even supposed to get to that Super Bowl, to be honest.
No, they weren't. No, they really weren't, man.
They weren't supposed to be there. And then when they get there, everybody just know, oh, where they're going to beat them. Because it's funny, week 17 of that season, they played against each other. And the Patriots beat the hell out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you was thinking like, oh, yeah, they'll never see each other again. And then some way, somehow, the Giants end up in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. And some way, somehow, I mean, yeah, you give a lot of credit to Michael Strahan and Justin Tuck and Osei Umenyiora, mm-hmm. because if you mm-hmm. remember that Super Bowl, they really, you know, put the pressure on Tom Brady. Tom Coughlin, they didn't come up with no, like, oh, we gonna like blitz or, you know, do a big bunch of different schemes or whatnot. It was just that four-man front that was just beating those six guys up front for Tom Brady, and they was just, you know, getting after him. And mm-hmm. Eli, you know, he went out there and basically, you know, he put the game, he drove that team, he willed that team on offense to win.
He did.
And I mean, he made some spectacular plays, of course. And I still try to figure out how the hell he shuffled up out of that, you know, getting sacked and shuffles out of there, and the whole David Tyree catch.
Oh yeah, man, that was unbelievable. That was spectacular catch, spectacular play.
and what was the dude? I forgot the wide receiver. I think it was it Manningham? Was it? I can't remember what his first name was, but he made that catch on the sideline that Eli just put in there just enough to where he
Manningham. Yeah, I can't remember his first name, but yeah, I know you're talking about.
Was it Mario Manningham? I think it was Mario.
It might have been. Let me look it up. I know it was Manningham something.
Yeah, but he put it right there in, like, right where he could catch it, get it 2 feet in before he went out of bounds. Eli made some plays. And then, let's not forget, too.
Mario Manningham. That's right. Mario Manningham. Yep, that's it.
All right. And I remember there was at least like two or three seasons straight where I don't know who his center was, but whenever he hiked the ball to Eli was catching the ball like an inch or two off the ground. He was like the worst as far as hiking the ball to Eli, but it was the funniest thing ever. You gotta, if I can find the clips, I'll send it to you so you can see. But I forgot what his center name was, but Eli used to have to literally damn near catch the ball off the ground with how he hiked the ball to Eli, but he would still get it and do these, you know, great throws and stuff like that. So he, to say all that, I think he's had a really good career, and he truly is a Hall of Famer. I mean, the fact that he won two Super Bowls. He won two Super Bowls. And it wasn't like, you know, it was a defensive led team or whatnot. He earned those Super Bowls for them,
definitely.
So I mean, yeah, he definitely is a Hall of Famer in my opinion.
Yeah, same here. Like I said, and he didn't just beat anybody in those Super Bowls. He beat the Patriots and Tom Brady twice, and then one of them was during that, you know, that undefeated, you know, that perfect season. You know, he broke up them from, you know, getting a perfect record and breaking the Dolphins record. I mean, he is definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, a Hall of Famer. And like I said, I didn't notice that too much about the whole center situation, but that is very interesting. But like I said, I would watch him a lot as a Redskins fan. You know, we played the Giants twice a year. So I would watch, you know, Eli play, and he was clutch. He was gritty. He was tough. And he was durable, too. He didn't miss games. He didn't miss any games. He was out there, man. He was a competitor, man. So without a shadow of a doubt, you know, I know people like, you know, borderline, oh, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer in my book. I'm with you 100% on that one. He is definitely going to the Hall of Fame.
Exactly, because, I mean, like, when you look at some people that's in the Hall of Fame, you look like how the hell are they really in the Hall of Fame? So his numbers just speak for itself. And like I said, if you grade things on Super Bowls, well, he got two. So it's funny. Him and Peyton both have two. So
they both got two rings.
Yes.
Most definitely. Most definitely, man. Like I said, coming out of that draft, like I said, with Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, he got a couple of rings, but Phillip Rivers, he didn't get any. I know people are probably going to debate whether he belongs in the Hall of Fame as well, Phillip Rivers. Do you think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, or yes or no?
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he put up some good numbers. And what's funny about Eli and Phillip is that they'll always be linked because they were traded for each other on draft day. So
yeah, that's how we're gonna carry the two of them. Now think about this. Now if Phillip Rivers had played for the Giants and then Eli maybe went to San Diego, do you think they would have had the same amount of success? Do you think Phillip Rivers might have had a Super Bowl ring and Eli might would not have had a Super Bowl ring? Do you think they would have had the same, you know, success in their careers? That's something to think about.
Well, see, that's tough because when you think about it, now, as far as a overall talent standpoint, when you look back at who they had on offense with each other, if you give me LaDainian Tomlinson and Antonio Gates with Eli Manning, well, there's possibly a chance that maybe the Patriots don't go to a couple of those Super Bowls during that time period. But at the same time, But at the same time, that the San Diego defense wasn't all that great. So
that's true too. That's a good point. Good point as well.
So it's kind of up in the air. Whereas, I mean, who? Okay, if Phillip Rivers goes to, if he goes to the Giants, you have Victor Cruz as a wide receiver. You have Plaxico Burress for a couple of seasons, but it's not Pittsburgh. Plaxico is
no.
And then as far as running backs, you have Brandon Jacobs and Amon Bradshaw or whatnot. But you got this stout defense because you got Michael Strahan, you got Justin Tuck, you got Ose Umeyor. What was the linebacker? I can't remember his name now. But you had a stout defense. So like I say, it's tough to really say. It's kind of tough in that aspect.
We'll never really know. But like I said, it's honestly hard to say. But like I said, I guess things happen for a reason. I guess you could say that.
Yeah. I mean, and Eli, he always wanted to play for the Giants.
Yeah, so it worked out perfectly for him. Like I said, he spent his whole career there, so it worked out perfectly. He's a 2-time champion. Yeah, successful career.
Exactly. And he picked the perfect time to retire because he retires basically a week before leading up to talking about the Super Bowl. And I mean, I was kind of avoiding talking about it, but it kind of falls in comparison with it. Well, something else happened the same weekend that he retired. So, you know, it's like he retired and then that was it. They didn't really talk about it too much after that. He retired.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of his personality. He never wanted to be like in the forefront of anything too much. So.
Yeah, most definitely. And then when you think about like, you know, families, you think about, you know, families and sports, you know, where it's not just, you know, not just football, but it's, you know, all cross sports. You think of the Manning family, you know, you got Archie Manning there, you know, he was a quarterback, you know, Peyton was a quarterback, Eli was a quarterback. I mean, that's something that's, you know, very rare to see, and that's something I don't think you'll see too often. You see, you know, that family lineage like that, you know, throughout the course of their careers. I mean, how do you feel about that? Like the Manning's like impact on sports. You think we'll see that like again in the NFL again, where you see like father and son and their brothers and everything playing together like that? You think, especially at the quarterback position?
I don't think it'll be at the quarterback position so much. But you never know. Phillip Rivers got like 9 kids, so he got like four or five boys. Drew Brees got a couple of kids, so you never know. But I don't think you will see anything on that level of where you had a father in Archie who he wasn't the greatest or whatnot, but he still had a fairly decent career.
He did.
Playing for the Saints way back in the day. And then you had Peyton come along, and then you had Eli come along a few years after that. So I don't think it'll be on that level.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, that's not like a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing. Like I said, that's, you know, something very special. And like I say, you cherish moments like that, because like I said, that's, you know, one of the things that makes sports fun, seeing stuff like that, seeing, you know, the family, you know, father, son, you know, brothers, you know, playing together like that. It makes sports, you know, fun. But like I said, probably not at the quarterback position, but you never know. You know, running back, wide receiver, you know, defensive players, you know, like you got the Bosa brothers that are playing right now. So, you know, probably not at the quarterback position, but you can see, you know, other maybe, you know, family members, you know, playing together in the league.
Well, don't forget you got JJ and TJ Watt too.
That's right, yeah. That's them too. That's right. Forgot about them. That's right.
And then, I mean, then also too, you have who is that? Clay Matthews' family. I mean, they have a history, they have a great history with the NFL. Same thing goes with Howie Long kids. So.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It's not so much like at the quarterback. I don't think we'll see it again at the quarterback position though. But as far as other positions, it's happening and it's still possible.
Like I say, in sports, you never say never in sports these days. You never just say never. So, anything else on Eli Manning?
Well, I just have to end it by saying you really can't spell elite without spelling Eli. So
there you go, man. There you go. Well said, man. Well said. All right, up next, one more thing before we start getting into like the Super Bowl talk and everything. Oh man, Antonio Brown, man. It's gotten to the point now where, man, it's not even funny anymore. It's just sad, man. Yeah. So yeah. It's very, very sad. And they said, according to a report through ESPN, he's off of house arrest now, so he can travel and everything. He said he wanted to be able to, you know, get out and enjoy the Super Bowl and everything. So he's off of house arrest after the whole incident, you know, at his house where, you know, it's him and his trainer and the truck driver and everything. But I mean, I'm at a loss for words with this whole Antonio Brown situation. I mean, just his fall. This guy was one of the top wide receivers in the game, and just to see him crash the way he has over the last year is unbelievable. I mean, they thought there was just a little incident, you know, with him in Pittsburgh, with him and Big Ben and Tomlin and everything. It's gone way beyond that. But I mean, what are your thoughts on the whole situation? Where we at this point now?
Well, like you said, it is, in all honesty, it is sad to see this happen to him, but I gotta blame the media to some degree for this, because at some point you have to stop, you know, putting the cameras on it, because it gets to a point where, okay, is there something really wrong with him, or is a lot of this him just doing it for the cameras? And right now, I really can't decide, because especially with the fact when he turns himself in a damn 1970s prom suit that I think he wore to one of the ESPY awards a few years
ago. Yes.
But the kick on top of that, he got a doggone track suit jacket as his shirt underneath. It's like, what are you doing? And then I don't know if you saw it when he was leaving out the courthouse or whatnot. He takes off down the steps and goes running the wrong way.
I saw that.
And it's just like what the hell is going on? Like, what is this? And why am I watching this? I don't want to see this. This is almost on the same level. And wrestling fans, if anyone listens to this as a wrestling fan, they'll know about this. This is almost like watching Scott Hall when he was, you know, going through his alcohol phase in WCW. Mm-hmm. And that was sad to watch. And
this
falls in line just with that in a way. It's like, I don't want to see this. And it really is sad. It's like, I think he do need help.
But I think so too.
It shouldn't be something that's played out in the public eye. So
yeah, it really shouldn't. And he also sees like he's addicted to social media too. He's always, you know, tweeting out stuff, and he's doing these Instagram lives and everything. And it's just unbelievable, man. I mean, and like I said, everybody was thinking, oh, you know, they were talking about him and Big Ben. It was big, you know, Roethlisberger's fault and, you know, Tomlin's fault and everything, you know. You look back at it now, you think and wonder, like, maybe it wasn't all there. I'm not saying everything was perfect with those situations, but you look at it now, you see, like, you know, this dude was really something, you know, wrong. Because it seems like, you know, he's just out of control, man. And like I said, part of it's definitely, you know, on the media. You look like for sticking a camera in this guy's face and everything, because it's not helping him. If he really needs some help, you know, just throwing a camera up in the guy's face, you know, trying to get a story and everything, that's not helping the cause any. You're just making it worse.
Exactly. It's like you're abetting this, like, descent into madness, basically.
And pretty
it's
much.
Like, it's like, how far is this gonna go before they be like, oh, well, he needs some help and everything. It's like, no, he already needs help, but you guys are kind of just still feeding into it because it's ratings and it's clicks and everything like
that. You're trying to get a story, you know, TMZ and everything, you know, you'll be out there, hey, you know, Antonio Brown, you know, let's do the story on him. instead of trying to actually, you know, try to help him and get him the help that he needs, because there's clearly something going on with him. This is more than just, you know, personal issues, like, you know, with, you know, him in the NFL and some of this legal stuff. He clearly has a problem. You can tell that.
Well, look, we knew he needed some help when he signs with the Oakland Raiders and he has that interview with the doggone Hollywood Hogan mustache beard combination.
Yes.
We knew something was wrong with him at that point. So.
Just unbelievable, man. Like I said, I don't know how the situation is going to end. I just hope he gets the help that he needs. But at the end of the day, he has to want the help too. I mean, you can't just force it upon him. He has to want to, you know, better himself. You know, you can't force it upon him.
That is true. I mean, he has to hit that rock bottom, and whatever that bottom is for him, he's gonna have to hit it in order before he get that help. Because, I mean, do you really want him to be allowed on South Beach during the Super Bowl weekend? Do you really want him?
No, that's the accident waiting to happen right there. I mean, you don't want that.
So yeah, and I'm pretty sure we're gonna hear that he did something somewhere.
Just sad, man. Just like I said, you know, we've seen a lot of athletes, you know, have their issues and stuff over the years. Like I said, in wrestling too, as well, for the wrestling fans out there. But this man, this some of this stuff he's doing, man, it takes the cake, man. Like I said, I just hope he gets the help he needs, man. But like I said, you don't want to see another, you know, a tragic situation happen with him.
Yeah, that is true.
That is true, for sure. All right, on to the main topic of this show, Super Bowl 54. It is Super Bowl week. We got the San Francisco 49ers going up against the Kansas City Chiefs down in Miami. But before we break down, you know, our thoughts on the game, give our, you know, predictions and everything, in general, do you have any favorite, like, Super Bowl memories from watching the Super Bowl over the years? Anything stands out to you? Any favorite moments, favorite players, anything that stood out to you over the years watching Super Bowl games?
Well, one moment that always come to mind first when talking about Super Bowl. John Elway against the Packers in Denver with the Denver Broncos.
Yes.
And
yes,
he takes off running. And he goes to dive for the touchdown. Of course, he's like a couple of yards short. He dives. He gets helicopters spinning around. And
yes.
That's one of the best. And plus, I mean, he ends his career on top. You know, he gets carried off the field. He wins back-to-back Super Bowls. They say, I'm done.
That's right. He rolled off into the sunset. He said, that's it.
I mean, that's always one that comes to mind. The fact that the Buffalo Bills... It's kind of crazy that even though they didn't win any of the Super Bowls they went to, and they went to four straight, they're still the only team to go to four straight Super Bowls. And we talk about, even with all the teams that have won multiple Super Bowls, they're still the only team to ever go to four back-to-back Super Bowls. That's crazy.
That is for a lot of those great, you know, Patriot teams and everything, all these great, you know, 49er teams, Cowboys, all these different teams and everything. They're the only team to go to four straight Super Bowls after all these years. Yeah. That's unbelievable. Do you think we'll ever see that, you know, be broken? I don't see that. I mean, like I say, never say never, but that's hard to do, especially in this day and age, you know, free agency and players switching teams and everything. It's hard to say that we see, you know, another team go to four straight Super Bowls.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. And like you say, because of like free agency and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a unique, you know, history record here. And it's kind of fun. Like I said, they're 0-4 in the Super Bowl, you know, in that stretch, but they're the only team to ever go to four straight. And it's like, how the hell did that happen?
Right, exactly.
Another one that comes to mind is, I mean, when you had the Baltimore Ravens when they won their first Super Bowl in 2000.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that one. Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
I mean, that was an interesting run. You talking about? I mean, a team. I don't think we've ever seen a team that literally was carried by its defense to win a Super Bowl.
Yes. I think some weeks, man, they were winning by just kicking field goals, man. They weren't even scoring touchdowns, man. They was kicking field goals and winning games, beating teams.
Exactly. And like I said, the offense just did the bare bones minimum. But it was the defense that really carried that team to that Super Bowl. I mean, we've seen other teams go to the Super Bowl that was led by defense, but they really dominated that, you know, that whole playoff, really. Because they went in, I think it was a 6 seed that year or something like that.
I believe something like that. Something like that.
So that means they had to go, they went on the road every week and then they go to the Super Bowl and then they win the Super Bowl. And
I scored 34 points that game too.
Yeah, ironically enough, right?
Yeah, who would have thought that?
Another one that comes to mind for me personally, which when I look back on it, I was like, what the hell was I thinking? But you know, I actually rooted for the Patriots when they won their first Super Bowl.
And the reason being
is because I really hated the greatest show on turf.
Oh yeah, I know a lot of people hated that.
And it's like, wow. It's like now looking back on that, it's like, God damn. It's like, maybe I shouldn't have been going. Maybe I should have wanted the Rams to win that. And I mean, it was cool to see Kurt Warner. You know, he went to another Super Bowl. Even though they didn't win with the Arizona Cardinals, but it was cool to see him go to another.
That was a good one.
And of course, that infamous run by James Harrison, you know, out of breath, you know, halfway down the field or whatnot. But he somehow he scored the touchdown or whatnot. But I mean, there's been some really good ones over the years, and there's been some bad ones too. But
yeah, there's been some bad ones too, man. Most definitely. But another good one for me was seeing Peyton get his first Super Bowl and seeing, you know, Tony Dungy, you know, finally get a Super Bowl ring. That was pretty cool when they played the Bears that year. That was a good moment.
And that was in Miami, matter of fact, too.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That was in Miami. That was.
Prince performed that year. He performed halftime that year, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That was the Prince, you know, halftime show.
Yep.
So, and that was another. That's, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, of course, that's, you know, how fitting was it that he performs Purple Rain and it started raining at the time that he started singing?
Exactly. I mean, go figure. I mean, only for Prince, man. I'm telling you, he's singing Purple Rain and it actually starts raining, man. Go figure, man. So,
yeah,
unbelievable.
There's been some good stuff, some infamous stuff that's happened at the Super Bowl, you know. Janet Jackson nip slip, you know.
Yeah. That was a moment.
I still don't understand how she got blamed for that when it was Justin Timberlake that ripped the thing.
Exactly. Like I said, how was that her fault? You know what I'm saying?
So, and they blame her. Then you remember the year two at the halftime when Bruce Springsteen performed and they made a big deal about him. It's like he was having too much fun. It's like, so what? The man was having fun. Like, have you ever seen a Bruce Springsteen performance? Well, not man, have fun when he performs. Like,
oh, what's wrong with that? You there, you performing, you at the Super Bowl and everything. Why can't you have some fun? Why can't you enjoy and live in the moment?
I don't know, but I guess because, I mean, you know, after the whole Janet Jackson thing, it's like they tried to be real. Because I think the following year, that's when they got Paul McCartney. It's like, what does he Paul McCartney perform?
Exactly. They got real conservative when it came to the performance at that instant.
And I think that's what they was expecting with Springsteen. But Springsteen came out there like, I'm going to put on a real show.
I'm going to live for the moment. I'm going to go for it.
So, yeah, I mean, but like I said, there's been some good stuff that's happened to him. Like I said, not some good stuff that's happened to him. So.
Yeah, we had that when the Ravens 40 and 49 is when the lights went out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Harbaugh Bowl.
The Harbaugh Bowl, brother and brother.
It's funny, we almost could have had another 49ers or Ravens game, the Super Bowl, but...
That's what I was thinking. Like I said, the way things were going, I was really thinking we were going to see another 49ers and Ravens, you know, Ravens Super Bowl. But unfortunately, the Ravens, you know, didn't get there. I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, a lot of people, you know, with Lamar Jackson and everything, the way the Ravens were going, they were like pretty much like a lot. Everybody thought they were probably going to definitely, if not win, definitely get to the Super Bowl, but, you know, win the whole thing. How do you feel about their season? You know, was it a letdown? Or how do you feel overall about them, you know, not ultimately getting to the big game?
I mean, I put it like this. They're this year, they are what Kansas City was last year.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
I get you. I get where you're coming from with that.
So, all that does, I think, is just gets some of them, mainly Lamar Jackson, to refocus, you know, come back, you know, better than ever next year. And let's see what happens. Because I would love to see Baltimore and Kansas City battle it out in the AFC Championship game. I would love to see that.
Oh, man. I would love to see that. That would be an excellent matchup. You got two young, you know, up-and-coming quarterbacks going forward, you know, two, you know, big-time offenses going one-on-one against each other. I mean, that's must-see TV right there, man.
Exactly.
Must-see TV.
So, like I said.
Yeah, they definitely going to be a favorite coming into next season, man. Like, it's just a learning experience. Just, you know, a little, you know, learning experience for them.
Exactly. I mean, Michael Jordan didn't win when he first. He had to go through some rough times before he finally.
Oh, we did. Yeah, bad boy Pistons and everything. The Celtics. Yeah, he had a lot to go through before he, you know, ultimately, you know, ended up winning, you know, his first championship. So this is the process you go through.
And I mean, if you keep it with football, I mean, shoot, look at Dan Marino. He went to the Super Bowl, you know, very early in his career. Never got back.
Never got back again. That's right.
So it happens like that. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it goes, man.
And then look at John Elway. Yeah, he went to Super Bowl 5 times and he didn't win until his last two. So
Yeah. Got a running game with Terrell Davis in there, man. And, you know, last 2 years of his career, you know, walked away with, you know, Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, like I said, you know, just the process, man. Just the process. But like I said, we got the 49ers and the Chiefs here. We got offense versus defense. You know, you got Andy Reid. You got Kyle Shanahan. How do you feel about this Super Bowl matchup? How do you feel about these two teams, you know, we have here playing this Sunday? How do you feel about it?
Well, I'll put it like this. It's going to be an interesting game. I'll save my pick when we get to that moment. But I was kind of wanting a State Farm Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. Because I was like,
me too, man.
The biggest winner of this was going to be State Farm if Green Bay would have beat the 49ers.
Oh, but, man. That would have been epic, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, we still getting half of a State Farm Bowl. But I'm kind of like, I feel like the way they talk about Jimmy G is as if they're trying to make him be the new golden boy of the NFL. Like they're trying to pass that torch from Tom Brady to him in a way.
Jimmy G.
Yeah, because, I mean, look at what Tom Brady did when he first was started. He wasn't asked to do a whole lot. It was more.
No, he wasn't.
It was more the run game, and it was the defense. Right,
defense, yeah, and very true.
And what is Jimmy asked to do? Not a whole lot, but
not a whole lot. Got a run game and got defense.
Exactly, and
manage the game.
But the way they talk about him is as if he's doing something that's spectacular. It's like, no, he's really not. He's just doing enough.
Mm-hmm. I see that,
and I feel like if the game comes down to quarterback play, I'm not gonna take him over Patrick Mahomes.
No way.
And it's almost similar to, you know, like what happened with the Chiefs and the Titans. It was like, oh, they got such a, you know, great run game with Derrick Henry, and their defense is this, mm-hmm. that, and the other. And what happened? It came down to, oh, Ryan Tannehill, you got to throw the ball a little bit more. And
I was like,
exactly. Next thing you know, Kansas City was winning, and that was it. But
that was a good game set match.
I feel like if the Chiefs, like I said, they locked down Tevin Coleman or Breeder or whoever the hell they're going to have running the damn ball for the 49ers back there. And if it has to come down to Jimmy G really having to throw the ball, I don't think he's really ready for that right now. Or whatnot. So
no, especially against Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you know, he's not ready for that. I mean, I'll take Patrick Mahomes any day.
Exactly.
For him, and throwing the football.
And the way that they do it is, it's almost like it's like, oh yeah, let's keep him on the sideline or whatnot. That, but then you're like, well, they can go down the field in less than 90 seconds, really, and score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And if you
can, mm-hmm. they got some weapons on that offense. They got some weapons, man.
Because everybody's healthy right now, and that's the
kind of thing about it. Fully healthy.
Patrick mm-hmm. is healthy. Travis Kelce is mm-hmm. healthy. Tyreek Hill is mm-hmm. healthy. Sammy Watkins
healthy. Yep. Healthy. Sammy Watkins healthy. Mm-hmm.
All of them are healthy, and it was almost like, you know, you forgot about just how good Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City was, because this whole season was all about the Lamar and Baltimore show, mm-hmm. really.
It was.
So it's like now, it's like, yeah, they letting people know, like, yeah, we're still that team. So,
mm-hmm.
it, like I said, it's going to be an interesting game, I think.
Yeah, most definitely. It's definitely going to be an exciting game. And real quick, about the coaches here, we got Andy Reid, you know, getting back to the Super Bowl for his first time, you know, since he went back there with the Eagles. I mean, that was like 2004, I believe. And you got Kyle Shanahan, you know, the son of Mike Shanahan, you know, he won, you know, Super Bowls in Denver, of course. How do you feel about the coaching matchup here, these two coaches?
Go ahead and say, yes, I'm going for Kansas City in this game, all right? But one of the reasons I feel like this is the last thing that Andy Reid really needs is a Super Bowl win to really stamp his career as a coach. And I feel like Kyle Shanahan, this is just more of him kind of becoming more of a bigger name in football. And it's funny because we was talking earlier about, you know, families in football. Well, he falls in, you know, his father was a legendary coach, and now here he is, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. following his dad's footsteps and has a really good team, and he himself has proven that he's a really good coach. Granted, some other team that shall remain nameless didn't think that he should be, you know, the coach or whatnot, and let him go.
That's all I'm gonna say.
but they let a couple of coaches go, you know, assistant, yeah, because they figured Jay mm-hmm. Gruden was mm-hmm. the guy. You know,
mm-hmm. I wonder what team we're talking about here.
Right, that team.
That team.
but yeah, I think it's gonna be a good matchup. It's gonna be a good back and forth, I think, between these two to see who comes up with the better game plan. But I'm really rooting for Andy Reid, because I feel like this if he wins the Super Bowl, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it that he's a, you know, Hall of Fame coach or whatnot. So.
Yeah, man, and I'd be, you know, happy for him. Like I said, I'd watch him, you know, as the Redskins playing, you know, he was in the NFC East with the Eagles for all those years. And they would, you know, they got to that one Super Bowl and won all those, you know, division titles and everything. But I was like, the one thing that eluded him was a Super Bowl victory. And like I said, Kyle Shanahan, he's still fairly, you know, young. He's 40 years old. I think he's going to have plenty of opportunities with that team, especially with that defense and everything. And I'm sure they'll continue, you know, to draft well and, you know, pick up free agents and everything. They'll continue to build that. They'll continue to have a solid team there for a while. So I'll definitely see them, you know, getting back to a Super Bowl and him definitely, you know, winning one. But right now, I'm rooting for Andy Reid, man. I want to see Andy Reid, you know, get that Super Bowl ring, man. Like I said, that's the one thing that's missing from his career. He's done. He's had a great career, you know, both with the Eagles and Kansas City. This is like the one thing that's really like missing is that Super Bowl victory. So I'm with you. I'm going on for Kansas City. Yeah, man, but like I say, it's going to be interesting, man, because like I say, it's offense versus defense, man. That defense of San Francisco is no joke, man. So we see how they, you know, adjust with Kansas City with this high-powered offense.
Well, you remember Tennessee's defense was supposed to be no joke, too. So
yeah, that's true. And Kansas City, man, they handle their business against them, most definitely.
But I say another thing, too. The reason why I can't go for the 49ers is that in regards to Joey Bosa. Now, because I've watched that freaking NFC Championship game, and they was really blowing a lot of smoke up his behind, really, because there were some plays that was going on. He just happened to be in the right spot and they want to give him all the credit. And I'm like, well, what about the other guys that really caused this to happen? Like the one play where they want defense and the dude Buckner, he basically forces Aaron Rodgers to spin to go back the other way. And Joey Bosa is right there, and then they sack him. And it's like, but they want to give Joey Bosa all the credit. It's like, well, wait a minute. If Buckner didn't do what he did, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have spent back around to where Bosa was there. And I don't really want to go into that whole thing about I kind of get a feeling why they go overboard about Joey Bosa. But I feel like there is a reason for this. And I'll just leave it at that. I won't go down that rabbit hole.
Oh, I understand where you're going with that.
Yeah, but and it's kind of the reason why they do that with certain people. I mean, if it was Za'Darius Smith on the Packers, I don't think they would go so overboard with him. But
true.
Because of Joey Bosa or whatnot, yeah, they went overboard with him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of where I'm coming from with this. And plus, also too, I do have to bring this up. So I find it interesting. The team that some guy named Colin Kaepernick played for, San Francisco 49ers, now they have Jimmy G, who is just asked to do enough, you know, in regards to getting them to the Super Bowl. Are you trying to tell me that Kaepernick couldn't be doing what Jimmy G is doing right now?
So, oh, he definitely could have. Whether it was with the 49ers or with any other team, and he could definitely be coming in and do that for some team.
Exactly. So I just find that kind of funny too. Especially this is the same team that he did lead to a Super Bowl. So.
Yeah, the last time they were in the Super Bowl, Colin Kaepernick was the quarterback. And you notice they haven't really, you know, brought that up too much, too, either. They haven't really, you know, mentioned that. Or last time he was in the Super Bowl, they haven't brought that up.
Exactly, because then it would force them to have to acknowledge him.
So, so they kind of, you know, kind of brushing that up under the rug, so to speak. They don't want to mention that.
Look, we watch enough wrestling to know that when they're trying to do some revisionist history on crap. Right?
Oh, yes.
You know, like...
and that's definitely the case when it comes to him, man.
You know, it's almost like, you know, like WrestleMania 17 never happened between Undertaker and Triple H. You know, that never happened.
That never happened. You know, we saw with our own two eyes, but, you know, according to them, that never took place.
Yeah, it never happened, but... In fact, they fought three times at WrestleMania, but the first one, we technically don't know that happened. And it's like,
really? No, that doesn't count. That never took place.
Yeah, like, really? And that's kind of like with this. It's like, oh, yeah, the San Francisco 49ers. So what you trying to tell me? The last time they went to the Super Bowl is when they won in 95? That's the last time they went to the Super Bowl?
No. But of course, that's what they want you to think.
Exactly. It's when Steve Young won the Super Bowl, you know, champagne pouring all over him and everything. That's the last time.
The monkey off his back. Yeah, that's the last time they went to the Super Bowl. Forget, you know, when they played the Ravens, you know, that year. That never happened.
like, really? Like, come on, man.
Oh, my goodness, man. Yeah, but that's a situation right there. But unfortunately, you don't know if we'll ever see Cap back in the NFL again, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I mean, at this point, look, you still got, you got a Nike endorsement deal. And so you still good. So and you.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, he's fine. You know, he's fine. He would be fine.
Like, you don't have to beat your body all up, you know, or whatnot for that. So yeah, in the long run, it's actually not such a bad thing, in my opinion. But,
yeah, I mean, I just think he's got that Nike deal and everything, but you know, it's just kind of unfortunate, you know.
It just sucks that he was forced out of the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for reasons that, you know, but that's well documented, I should say.
Oh yeah, most definitely. But do you ever think he would ever consider, you know, going like the Canadian League or an Arena League or XFL or some other league and kind of proving himself, and maybe the NFL team's like, oh man, look at him over there. Maybe we, you know, we could sign him now. Can you see him doing that possibly?
No, because I don't feel like he needs to prove anything. Because everyone with some sense about them knows why he was forced out of the league. And like I said, and this is coming from somebody who was not a huge fan of his when he played, because I always felt like he threw like a baseball player. Always said,
yeah, that. Yeah, that baseball windup. Yeah,
yeah, I always said that, right? But he, but when you look at it, and I always say this before we even talk about Kaepernick being forced out of the league, what the hell happened to Vince Young?
Because that's true. People forget all about Vince Young, man. I mean, Heisman Trophy winner, and you know, he was there with the Titans and everything. And as far as I'm concerned, he played in the greatest college football game. That performance against USC in the college game, unbelievable. That's one of my. I'm not a huge college football fan, but I remember watching that game and like blown away by his performance in that game. And like I said, people forget about him.
Yeah. But the fact, well, first of all, that was the last time I actually watched a national championship game, by the way. When he
played. That's one of the last times too. Like I said, I'm not a big college football fan, but that was one of the ones where I was really like invested in that game.
And then, like I said, he had if you look up his stats as a starter, he had a winning record. He had a winning record.
He did.
The fact that he never got another opportunity for a different team to be a starter, it's like, so why was he phased out of the league? Like what did he do that was so wrong that he was phased out?
So, I don't know. I really don't know.
Like I said, I always look at that, and I'm like, because I mean, in regards to Kaepernick, yeah, he was forced out for we kind of know why. Right or wrong, however you feel about it, anyone who's listening, however you feel about it, right or wrong, but we know what reasons were given for why he was basically forced out of the league and blackballed, if you will. But Vince Young, he wasn't no Jamarcus Russell, you know. He was damn good. I mean, I feel like Deshaun Watson is kind of like what. He is what we kind of wanted Vince Young to be and probably could have been if he was in a better situation in Tennessee and didn't have Jeff Fisher as his coach, maybe. But, but yeah, I've always wondered that. Like, why was he never got another opportunity in the NFL. So
especially you look now, you know, where a lot of teams, you know, for him and Cap both, you look now where a lot of teams are running this kind of spread option type of offense now. You think somebody like a Vince Young and a Kaepernick would fit in with, you know, some team now where that seemed to be like, you know, the future of the NFL when it comes to the quarterback position. You don't have that traditional just drop back and throw quarterback. You got that guy that can not only throw, but he can run. Like, you see what Lamar's doing. You see what Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson and stuff are doing. You think people like, you know, Kaepernick and Vince Young would fit perfectly in the direction that the NFL is going when it comes to, you know, the quarterback position.
And you try to tell me that neither one of them could be a starter for the Dolphins, for the Buccaneers, for the Jaguars. Notice I named all the Florida teams first.
The Florida teams need quarterback.
I'm trying to think who else. I won't say Buffalo because Josh Allen, he's actually kind of. He's kind of grown on me in a way, but who the hell? Well, you try to tell me he couldn't. Neither one of them could start for the Jets over Sam Darnold. Let him sit for maybe a year or two, you know, or whatnot. And you know, some of these other down in the dump teams that they couldn't have been starters for. But you know, well we know how that goes.
Yeah, we definitely know how that go. But like I said, I'm glad you brought up Vince Young, because I had like totally like forgotten about him. But he's another one that could definitely, you know, should have gotten another opportunity, you know, to prove himself. But like you said, he had a winning record as a quarterback. He was doing some good things there with Tennessee.
Yeah.
And like I said, he went to the Eagles for a little bit, and he was briefly with the Packers. And after that, people just like, they just like, you know, forgot about him. He became an afterthought, basically.
Yeah, he goes to the Packers. Like, really, he was gonna start over Aaron Rodgers, right?
Exactly. I'm like, of all the teams for him to go through, why would you bring him to the, you know, to the Packers? You think he's really, you know, starting over Aaron Rodgers? No way. You know, that was dumb. That didn't make any sense. So,
yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy, man. But anything else before we get up out of here?
No, that's actually pretty much it for me.
Same here, man. Like I said, it's a good episode. Like I said, we look forward to the Super Bowl this Sunday. So, like I said, it's going to be a very good game. Very good game between, you know, two very good teams. So, that's all I got here for tonight. Jay, thank you for coming on. Anything you'd like to plug, sir?
Yes. So, I know the last time I was on, I brought up about I was doing my Mad Max trilogy of the original first three films, not Fury Road, of course, but I was doing the first three that starred Mel Gibson, and I wrapped up that whole series here this past weekend, where for episode 146, where I talked about Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, which of course starred Mel Gibson and Tina Turner as the quote unquote villain. You have to listen to the episode of why I say quote unquote villain. So check, you can check that episode out for Movie Talk. And I enjoy talking about that one, even though it's not my favorite of the series, but I enjoy talking about it because it kind of grew on me when I watched it this time. So, yeah. So, like I said, you just have to listen to the episode to hear a lot of my thoughts about that movie. If you're a fan of the Mad Max films, or if you've only seen Fury Road and you never seen any of the original films, I definitely recommend going back and checking those movies out. So, you can definitely check out episode 146, where I talk Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And then for February, I'm kicking that month off with kind of a love story in a way, with some action in it. And I'm talking about this 90s somewhat cult classic, Gross Point Blank, starring John Cusack. So that's what I'm kind of kicking off the month of February with. So that'll be for episode 147. So that'll be out probably after this episode or whatnot, as we're doing here for Three and Out on the TV Zone Podcast Network.
Awesome, man. Sounds good to me. And guys, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at MoneymakerChris, as well as Instagram, BCSportsFan23. Check out my writing on medium.com/@BrokenMoneymaker, as well as my Facebook page for my writing, The Cash In. Like I said, I talk all things sports, wrestling, and pop culture related. Also, I have Football and Friends, where I do all my football picks. I'll be putting out my predictions for the Super Bowl. If anybody wants to give their predictions, just let me know. Hit me up. You can give your predictions as well. I have my products for sale that I sell. Storefrontier.com/Writer315. T-shirts and hoodies on there. Teespring.com/store/MoneymakerChris. Got some phone cases, mugs, some other cool stuff up on there as well. Also got stuff I sell individually, some t-shirts, towels, pins, wristbands, and stuff as well. So you can just hit me up if you're interested in any of that. And also follow this podcast's Twitter page, at 3andOutPodcast1 on Twitter. And that's all from me. All right, Jay. Like I said, thanks for having you this week. Any last words, my friend?
Hopefully this is a really good Super Bowl. Not really caring about the halftime show. Sorry, but but yeah, like I said, I'm gonna enjoy the game. And as long as the Patriots and Tennessee was not in the Super Bowl, I was good. So
yeah, there you go. You don't have to go no rant or nothing like that.
I mean, it would have been good for the show, but you know. You know, but personally, I didn't want to, you know, suffer through seeing old man Brady or seeing mediocre Tannehill and Zubo. So, yeah,
I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you at all, man. I don't blame you on that one. But yeah, we're also, like I said, after the Super Bowl, we'll be having a show, 3 and Out, you know, giving our thoughts on the Super Bowl. So after the Super Bowl on Sunday, we'll be having a show. And also, we'll probably be having a thread up as well, where we'll be, for people, you know, it's on Facebook and everything, we'll probably have a thread out for you guys so we can, you know, discuss the game and everything. And like I said, after the Super Bowl, we'll be on here to discuss and give our thoughts. So I look forward to that. Hopefully it's a good Super Bowl. And peace out, guys.
Peace.